Steve, do you want to just start set up the conversation with Kenny, because it's going to be more like evergreen about like what it's like for you guys post playing career, da 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 da, and then you guys can have a discussion, and then at any point I may like jump in to like steer it, because I think there's certain questions fans will have that I'll be able to sort of suss out, but otherwise like just bro out for a bit.
Yeah, we just chat.
Yeah, just bro down.
Listen to this.
Zakamani, the flying winger.
Here's Brad Evans.
It's Steve.
Who is it? It's Brad Evans.
Is that again?
Happy days are here again. Turning with a drive. It's Steve Zakamani.
Evans with the left foot.
He's an attacking threat, Brad Evans.
This is so weird.
The party has started.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of Side by Side. I'm here, Steve Zakwani, Brad Evans alongside, Keys alongside, and we have a special guest, no stranger to Sounders fans or to fans of MLS in general. Kenny Cooper is with us, and we're just going to chat today. We're just going to chat because, you know, each one of us, and we're not the only ones, have gone through the transition of having a career in soccer, professional soccer, and then having to move on and retire and figure that out with all its challenges. So we're just going to chat. But before all of that, Kenny, it's been a long time. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Where are you, first of all?
I'm currently in Charleston visiting family. My wife's parents live here. So
Spend
some good time with them. And this feels very familiar with Brad on here because we often FaceTime.
Who did you type first?
Weekly FaceTime.
Who did type first, Brad? You or Kenny? Who did type first?
Well, technically, I actually retired.
Kenny's not retired.
I told Brad the other day. I said I never officially retired. So Brad is the answer to that one.
That's actually true. Wikipedia'd you before our interview because they obviously know you, but I only know your Wikipedia page, and you have no retirement date on there. So confirmed, yeah. You have not announced your retirement.
Hey, you know what's crazy? Kenny, I just saw, do you guys remember Christian Dean? Do you remember that name? No? He played Vancouver Whitecaps. He was a super early draft pick and really young guy. I think Vancouver went to Chicago, and then he just got back into soccer, and he's playing USL after 2 years away from the game.
Awesome.
And he's playing for a USL team. Yeah, I just saw a post yesterday on Instagram. So the Sounders have, I think, another like 12 hardship signings. So, Kenny, you might have a chance here in Seattle. Sure. Although I would say about retirement, like I think this is very fitting. I'm sitting in my truck with like a high school summer camp shirt on that we're leading. And picking up items from the guys at Starfire for the platform I'm working on, and then like doing a podcast at the same time for the Sounders. All three of my like jobs are hit in one day at one time.
It's amazing.
So good.
No, yeah, I love so that. Good. I mean, Kenny, would you ever consider a comeback, or is that ship sailed?
Of course I would. I mean, are you kidding me? I still dream of it, but at the same time, I mean, you know, I have coaching ambitions for sure. And, you know, I've been, you know, looking towards that for a while now. I've been getting really great experience the last couple of years. Recently, I just spent a month with FC Dallas as like a volunteer assistant helper. So, you know, I'm trying my best to stay close to it, stay connected. Really grateful to Lucci and FC Dallas for opening the door for me to be able to do that. And I just have to be on the field. I mean, I love the game. I'm just so passionate about it. I have so much enthusiasm for it. And I believe just too much experience and like, you know, so-called expertise to not be on there, to not be around the players and just sharing from, you know, all the lessons I've learned, the ups and the downs and all the different experiences. And, I've made my mind up for sure that my future has to be, you know, in the game and on the field.
I always think like, you know, Mike Fecito retired quite a while ago, and he's been coaching, you know, college soccer, and we talk all the time also. And it's a different mindset because he's like, all right, what next? You know, what do I do next? And so I went to him with, you know, potential of, you know, maybe like a tech job out here in Seattle and kind of switching gears. And Kenny's just like the guy that I would never say that to, because he likens to a golden retriever where if there's a ball, it's just like automatic. He's got to go, got to follow the ball, got to follow the ball. And I just, there's no way that you could ever sit, you know, at a desk job and sell, you know, the cloud. There's just no way, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have so much, you know, admiration for guys that go like into other industries. And, you know, of course, like you think about it, right? But just, you know, as I said, for me, I mean, I'm just too passionate about it. I have just too much enthusiasm, you know, to be out there on the field. And for the longest time, I mean, I grew up around the game. I had the great fortune of my dad was a professional coach when I grew up. So I've been around it my whole life. I saw the path I wanted to go down, and by the grace of God, was able to, you know, fulfill these dreams of playing. And so, you know, for me, I just feel like there's just been too many experiences. And like I said, lessons learned along the way to not stay in it and to be able to like pass it on. And so, you know, that's been like my mindset when I've been on the field is to around FC Dallas is to just try and be a positive presence there and the support and, you know, just be a help, you know, mentor if there's opportunities to do that. And so, yeah, I've really relished just being back, you know, around the team and around the league.
With coaching, it's such a wide spectrum. Do you care if it's like, I mean, you can coach under nines, you can coach high school, college, pros, academy. It's so wide. Do you have like a preference of ultimately ambition wise, where you'd like to land at which level?
I mean, I certainly would love to be, you know, back in the world of MLS, you know, at the professional level. And I love coaching, you know, young players. I love, you know, just being around the game. I love talking about the game, you know, whether it's, you know, with players, parents. But I also, you know, would love to be back in the professional world. I mean, that's where all my professional experience lies is in that professional world of playing. And so, you know, I started really young. I started out of high school. So, you know, I know what it's like to be a young player trying to make that transition. You know, my own journey as a player was, you know, very transient. We moved, you know, all over the place, played for a lot of different teams, had a lot of different coaches. So, you know, I've had all these experiences, good and bad, that are all just great to like recall at this point. And I just feel like the professional space is one where like, I just feel like I can relate to like all these players, like, you know, wherever they're at, you know, in their career. So yeah. There's definitely a desire to be back, you know, in that space.
Yeah, I mean, this convo we're having, I literally was having last night at dinner with James. So as we started talking, I just sent James Riley the text and he's jumped on now. And I feel like all four of us have taken a different path since retiring. I mean, Brad, you took a year, I think it was a year, maybe more. You just traveled. So you were up in forests and jungles and wherever it was you went. James, you took the corporate route, went to MLS. Kenny, you said you'd be, well, Kenny's not retired, so, but during your break, you're doing this. And I've done everything. I've coached high school. I've done my own private coaching. I've done TV. I've done stuff that's got nothing to do with the sport. I feel like anyone can take this. Did you guys, and I retired a bit younger because of injury, but did you guys intentionally, like, did you know exactly what you wanted to do? Or was it just a case of figure it out or grab the first thing or wait? I'm curious how that process played out. Because for me, the one advice I got was don't jump at the next thing. Just wait, try everything. And then whatever sticks, you'll like. And I'm still probably going through that process now. I don't think I found anything that I love as much as the game, and I probably won't, but I was still open to try anything right now. But I'm curious how that process was for you guys.
Man, I was just about to ask the same question. It seems like the common theme here is like, we all have no idea what we want to do when we grow up. And our paths are just so much different than the normal path, I guess you could say, you know, in quotes, the normal route that one would take to a corporate world or you know, that next step after college, right? I think for me in college, it was, how can I take the easiest classes and become a professional athlete? Like, that was my thought process. There was no thought behind, oh, what am I going to do afterwards? It was just, hey, I'm going to throw all this whole deck of cards, everything I have at this. And if I don't attain that, then I'll kind of go back and figure it out. But no matter what someone says throughout your career and mentors, whether it's your first year or 12th year, the same thing is always echoed. It's like, okay, what are you going to do after you play? But our life as athletes is what am I going to eat for breakfast? And how can I beat the guy in front of me that day in training? Our lives are, we're so focused on that day and just winning that day that trying to even think about the next year or 2, 3, 4 years, like for me personally, was never on my radar at all. Even my latter year in Kansas City, I didn't play a minute. And I still was like, oh, I decided to retire in August. And even then I was like, for my team to get the most out of me, even though I'm not playing, I have to go in there every day and say, how can I make today better for those around me? And kind of just left it up to chance of what I was going to do next. I don't know. It's a very, very weird mindset to think back on.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree. I can jump in. It's good to see everyone, but I agree. I mean, I think you kind of, as a player, you're in a fog and you're just tunnel vision and focus. I think, you know, over my years, I played on 7 teams. So I was able to collect business cards. And when I retired, I literally just had this collection of business cards, probably like over 250 just business cards, right? You meet someone at a networking event, you can grab a business card. Some people keep them, some thrown away. I made it a habit of just collecting business cards just to just expose myself to different things. I think that's the biggest thing as a player is what, you know, just being able to expose yourself to different things, do a shadowing experience, an intern experience, even if it's not the right thing, at least you can close the door and say, okay, the financial sector is not for me. Maybe it's staying in the game. I know a lot of players, you know, were able to get their badges, right, and go get their B license, and then that could, you know, gravitate to your A license. And that was just a natural progression, is to stay in the game of soccer and coach. But I agree. I think I think life coaching was huge, because I think you have to find yourself. Personal development was huge, but you have to reinvent and find your identity as a person, because it was so tied into, you know, being a soccer player, competing every day, and just having full tunnel vision on performing that day, then, you know, recovering, resting your body to perform the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. So I agree with everything that Brad said. It's difficult. I'm still in the process of finding out kind of my true identity post soccer career, and it's five, six years later.
What was it like for you guys, like the day after you decided to retire, like the first day where you were no longer a soccer player? What did that like sort of feel like?
You know, to be honest, yeah, no way. To be honest with you, Keely, because mine was weird, because I was in Portland. I knew that summer that I was done. And, you know, the announcement wasn't made until maybe October or something, and I didn't think about it. I made the announcement and kind of just stayed away from social media and didn't talk to anyone. I came to Seattle. I think Brad must have been playing still. There was maybe a playoff game or last regular season, probably a playoff game for the Sounders. And I said, you know, what's up to the fans? I did a little thing on the field. It wasn't until January 21st, the next year, when I'd normally went into preseason, and I had nowhere to go. And that's when it was like, oh, I don't play anymore. And there's no more Tucson. There's no more Casa Grande. There's none of that. Like, this is, I have to really figure this out. And I didn't have anything. I wasn't working, nothing. I was enjoying myself. But that's when it kind of sunk in that I'm never going to do that thing again. And then, you know, I doubled in that, like, obviously TV we're doing now, a little bit of coaching. I think the natural things that we all kind of gravitate towards and think about, but the day after, it still felt like a pro, but I still was fit and everything. And over the years now, I've lost my fitness and my shape. I'm like, okay, I'm definitely not an athlete anymore. But it wasn't until the next preseason that really sunk in, I think.
I love hearing, you know, just everyone's experiences. And it's like, you know, I can relate to, I think, all of you. And, you know, for me, I tried for the longest time just to pursue a comeback, you know. I mean, for the longest time, I got some great stories just about the lengths I went through to just to do it. You know, gosh, I drove down to Orlando one time from Charleston to train training down there. I came into Dallas like at the end of the season one time. I was living in New Jersey. I was trying to train with the Cosmos. Giuseppe Averisi was there, and I remember I'd wake up at like 5 a.m. and go just to beat the traffic and just sit at McDonald's until training started. I was just desperately trying to keep it going, and I just loved it. I was like, no, it's not done. I was convicted. I was just so determined, and you know, fortunate that you know my wife supported that pursuit. And I think like for so long, like I definitely never saw it coming for sure. Like I was just so like singularly focused on playing. I was just so passionate about playing. And what I think I've realized just over the years not playing is just that there's so many other avenues within the game to still enjoy it and to put that passion and like I said, so-called expertise towards. I've done a lot of coaching, you know, private coaching myself, you know, spoken to James about it. I feel like I'm getting like those 10,000 hours of like, you know, coaching by doing that. And I remember when I first started, like, I'm not sure I could think of more than like 4 drills. Now I can just have loads and loads of content, and I love it. It's just, you know, one avenue that I can put the passion I have for the game into. For me being back in Dallas, I've had a great opportunity to just reconnect with MLS, to be on the field with the first team. I've done some social media for them. I've done some like appearances for them. So, you know, they've provided some different opportunities for me to like just stay connected and you know, represent the team, which, you know, I feel so fortunate, you know, to have those opportunities. But like I said, for me, I at the end of the day, you know, my family's always going to come first, and I'll do whatever I have to do to provide for my family. But I'm also just super determined to stay in this industry and in this game that I'm so passionate about. And I've realized that, just for me, my future just has to be in the game. I'm just, like I said, I just, there's too much like time I put into it and just joy and experiences to not, you know, just pursue, opportunities in it.
What advice do you guys wish you had gotten before retiring?
Oh, I have the answer so easy. Do you guys remember Billy Madison when that kid's like, I can't wait to go to high school? And he grabs his head and he shakes it. He said, don't you ever say that. I wish that I would have heeded that advice and I could pass that on to someone when they say, oh, I can't wait to retire. I wish I could just shake their brain and be like, don't ever retire, whatever you do. Like, I was just thinking about it the other day about my morning, and, you know, I was driving 40 minutes, and I mean, I'm stoked at what I do now, but I was thinking about the alternative universe where it was, you know, wake up at 8, get there at 8:45, have a coffee, sit in a hot tub, maybe get a massage before you go out. Run around a little bit, get paid to exercise, get paid to stay in shape, get paid to play in front of, you know, 50,000 fans. Get paid to, you know, whatever it is, score goals or make a slide tackle, and then you go in and maybe you get a massage again because something else is a little bit tight. You go out to lunch with the boys. You have a nap in the afternoon where you don't set an alarm because you don't have any tasks that evening. You have a nice dinner and that's your day. And it's just, that's great. Don't ever retire.
Yeah. Funny. I mean, you know, for me, this might sound like cliche, but like it never felt like work to me in the sense, like I just loved it. I loved all those things Brad talked about. Like, I love the process. Like, I love to get in and just like get ready. I love to like do my shooting. Like, I still love to like, you know, even when I'm at Dallas, I love to like take reps and, you know, like I just loved everything about being a professional. I'm sure you guys could relate. And it just never felt like a job or a grind in that sense. Preseason, I think, was maybe the only time it like might have. Just gonna, I never liked preseason, but I just loved, you know, every just all of it. I love the games. I love the training. It never ever felt like a job to me. So then, like when it stopped, it was like, wait a minute, that like I actually made money to live out my dream. just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I relate to all of that. It's hilarious. I mean, I think the you know, to answer the question, it would be, I wish I would have gotten a life coach early, like rookie year. Like, honestly, a life coach and maybe a financial advisor have been two things that I wish I would have got dialed in right away, you know, maybe found a church earlier, things like that. But just someone that could connect outside of the game, right? I think for me, I played my best soccer when I was balanced, fully balanced off the field. It's allowed to just, me just express myself on the field. And balance meaning both personally and just with your life, right? If you're not personally kind of balanced or in a state of growth, personal development, I think it's hard to kind of to have that reflect on the field. In addition, I think, you know, the thing I miss most, like Brad and Kenny said, is the brotherhood. And Zach wanted to say a nice quote, like just going into the locker room and seeing guys that you literally go to battle with on the weekend and compete for. And like, for me, that's like just such a special time for anyone. Not a lot of people get to say they get to compete in front of 50,000 in a cup final in Seattle at home. You know what I mean? And so it's those special, special moments. But, you know, a lot of people see it, it's the tip of the iceberg. People don't see the process, as, you know, Brad and Kenny, with the process that goes into it. Yes, it's all fun and games, but to stay locked in and be an actual professional takes like a whole different mindset and a whole different type of mentality, and to compete every day and try to bring your best and know that you can trust the guy to your left and right. Those are the special moments, and laughing in the locker room with Zach Iwani and Brad, and telling jokes and competing. Like, it's, so it's the brotherhood and then the competition. But I think there's no more gratifying moment than being in the locker room after a win and just being able to connect with the guy. Like, that's the feeling, like going back to that feeling where like you guys just competed and won a game. So
yeah.
Those are the biggest things I miss, and I wish that I honestly could have just been able to be more present and just had a life coach to kind of help guide my strides early on. I think would have been very beneficial for me.
I'm curious, because we've all dabbled and are dabbling in coaching. Like, what kind of coaches we are? We all know what kind of players we were, but I'm curious to hear from you guys. Like, have you picked up anything from your previous coaches? Are you developing your own personality? And then would you have wanted to play for you? Because I would not have wanted to play for me. Because I caught myself yesterday, I was on the pitch with James coaching some youth players, and I'm yelling at guys to track back and defend.
It was a cup final.
I would have hated me. I'm getting tracked back and beat up and all the stuff I hated. So I'm curious kind of who have you guys molded your coaching on? And I definitely see, you know, parts of Ziggy, things Ziggy taught me, things Caleb Porter taught me, the two guys I really spent time with. Just, it comes out without even trying it. So I'm curious about that journey for each of us that's dabbled in coaching.
I just want to touch on the difference I've noticed between coaching girls and boys now that I've coached both high school seasons. And it's crazy how your mind shifts in those that you're coaching, and even the different, you know, the difference between boys and girls and how they are receptive to challenges and being pushed. And my honest opinion so far is that the girls are more receptive to us pushing them harder than the boys are right now in high school. The boys have given us a lot of lip, a lot of like, why are we doing this? They don't say thank you every day. They don't come up and ask for extra help. They kind of shake things off. And then the girls are complete opposite. They say thank you after every Zoom meeting. Can they help pick up things? If we tell them to do something, they put their head down and they do it. And they ask for help. And that mindset, I would have never expected. And I'm trying to think how to motivate the boys over motivating the girls, because it seems like my motivation tactics are a little bit sterner and not yelling, but like saying things with a purpose. Mm-hmm. And then I get to the boys and I'm having to almost plead with them. And I did not expect that. So figuring out like what kind of coach I even am. And I think it changes with those you're coaching. But I don't know. That's a great question, Steve. Who most like model yourself out of? I don't know. I don't know what you guys think.
Girl power. Excuse me. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead. Continue.
You know, so I had a ton of coaches just over the course of my career, and you know, again, just with my career, just having so much movement in it. I think like the way I view things, my perspective is like been shaped a lot by the experiences I've had, all the different coaches that I've had. I remember I used to love, I never played for Jesse Marsh, but in my pursuit of a comeback, that was one of my stops with Red Bull. Jesse let me spend a lot of time with them and train. And I was just, man, this guy was just so impressive. You'd walk in the building and just, you'd be greeted with this enthusiasm. Like, he genuinely was so happy to see you that day. And you guys may know, you probably had coaches where you might not even hear a word from that, like any like glance at you or anything. So I was really impressed with him. And I also, as I mentioned before, my father was a professional coach for about 20 years. So I had a lot of, like, you know, James, you talked about a life coach. You know, my dad isn't a professional life coach, but I look at him as, you know, a life coach in my life. And growing up, it wasn't just like, you know, doing like the technical stuff in the garage or like talking about the game, because we did a lot of that kind of stuff. We'd watch soccer, talk about it. My dad was like this constant source of positivity and encouragement in my life. And I benefited so much from it that, like, now I just find so much purpose in coaching to try and be a source of that for other people. And I just believe in the power of positivity, like whether you're 6 or you're 26, like I just really believe that, like, I always think of someone's spirit like a balloon that can be deflated or inflated. And my dad was constantly like pumping up, you know, my spirit. And it didn't matter what happened on the field. I could have the worst day of training. I could miss a penalty kick. And, you know, if y'all know me, like, I've missed some penalty kicks in my day. And my dad always had this way to just frame things and be like, you know, just make me feel like it was okay just to keep going. And he just really helped just instill this like hope and belief in me. And so, like, for me, like, when I think of, like, my style, I'm like, I'm definitely an eternal optimist. I'm a big believer. And so, like, when I'm out there, you know, doing my private coaching, or even like when I'm out around FC Dallas, like, I just feel like just so like called to be the source of positivity. And that's really, like, I think my greatest strength is my spirit. And so just being around players, like, for sure, there's like a lot of like technical little points that I think I can make, and experiences that I can share, but more than anything, I just feel like called to just, like, you know, just encourage and just try and help people, I guess, maybe just like see things in a positive way. Yeah. So my dad was very influential in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, I think, Kenny, I think you might be the nicest guy I've ever met. I mean, you're up there. There's only a few. I think that's just your aura.
I told you, it's Kenny and Donaldson. Like, those are the two.
Yeah. He's the nicest guy. But I think, I mean, that's spot on. I think that's the balance of, you know, having a driven player that wants to take his game to the next level, and we can be guides to kind of help that, whether male or female, or just having someone, whether it's high school or club soccer, that we're just trying to share our love and passion for the beautiful game, right? So they may not be that player that wants to play at the next level, but they still want to have a great soccer experience. So I think that the balance is being able to cater to both and be, like you said, be positive in that experience and know that we're teachers of the game and guides for the game. And I think that's the best thing. Because at one point or another, we were very young and didn't know how to tie our boots and whatever. Yeah. And somehow someone, you know, spoke into our lives and was life-giving. So I think that's the balance that I've learned in coaching youth soccer and running my own training business is, you know, whatever spectrum they come in on, I want them to leave, you know, with a positive experience, both on the field and just like they felt mentored and just had a life-giving experience during that's their awesome. Time. But it's a great question. But I mean, I take, obviously, as a player, you take different tools from different players and you appropriate them and make them your own. I think the same with coaching. I mean, from Ziggy, from to Jay Vidovich at the college level, Bobby Muse, all of my professional coaches, right? Paul Mariner just passing. He was the one that took a chance on me in New England with Stevie Nichol. And I've never seen two guys have more joy to, like, kick the soccer ball. Those guys would beat players onto the field, right? I know we try to get on the field and play 5v2, which is still one of the best things ever. Steve Nichol and Paul Mariner would beat players to the field to hit long balls. And they're literally trying to skip these one balls in and hit each other in the you know what, that was the game, and they'd laugh and have their coffee, like the most joy I've ever seen. And they were just able to create a culture of players that competed and things like that. So I think you take little bits and tools from every coach that you've had along your journey and just try to make it your own, which I think is the most powerful thing.
What's next for everybody?
I mean, right now, to be honest, I enjoy the TV part of it. It's very different to coaching. And the one thing I think that I had to like check myself when I started doing the TV is because you're doing the games from above, you see everything and you can become super critical. Because you're like, how would you not see that pass? Or how did you not make that run? Because you see everything. But it's like when I was on the pitch, I was making those same exact mistakes because it's very different, the view down there. You don't have the bird's eye view of seeing the team shape and how they're moving. On the pitch is very difficult. So enjoying analyzing the game from that way, learning my knowledge of the game, growing it, being a fan to an extent and seeing it. Like, I'm just enjoying that process. And I think it takes a long time. I don't think I'll ever find something that everyone here talks about a passion for playing football. I'm not going to find that again. That was just natural. That just found me. It just was, I have to do this. And, you know, grew up in England playing with muddy pitches in the winter. And I loved every second of it, going home with the muddy boots and all of that. It just was a passion. There's nothing else I think that's going to meet that. But with that said, to be in any way connected to the game, you know, I said I was on a pitch with James last night. And every time I see a player who has something about him, that gets me excited. Because then you're like, you know, I can help this player. Or it reminds me of how I was coming up. So I think it's just, for me, there's no hard goals, none of that anymore. It's just enjoying the journey. Whatever comes next is great. TV and coaching right now is probably the two things that keep me involved in the game the most. And in terms of what's next, you know, just long may it continue. I don't have any crazy like 3 years, 5 years where I've got to get to Europe and like how it was when you were a player. It's nothing like that at this point.
I'm doing everything I can to just save up as much money as possible to get off the grid for another year, two, or forever. I promise you guys, that's all I think about all day long. It's crazy. It consumes me. And it consumed me before I retired. Like, all I did for the 2 years before I retired was just YouTube, like, Airstream videos and, like, everything about it. And then coming back to reality is like cool, but I'm doing everything in my power to get back to that point.
That's awesome.
That's great. Oh my gosh. For me, it's just coaching. I mean, I think that's my passion. I run my own training business, so continuing to build that. And then, you know, I also help coach a club in the Bellevue area. And it's great. I just think staying connected to the game like that, it's just something special, like Zach one alluded to. It's just a great opportunity to give back to the beautiful game. And it honestly helps fulfill kind of my passion as well and my soul, right? It fills my cup when I'm able to really coach a group and leave it that day. And it's like, you know, it's like when Zach one and I, you know, a lot of us used to go volunteer. It's like, you know, the Boys and Girls Club Rent the Skyway, the one that I used to commit most of my time to, they think from the outside, you think they're getting the most. But it's actually I'm benefiting the most because it was able to keep me grounded. It didn't matter the result of the game on the weekend. It didn't matter if I had a good training session or a bad training session. I could go there and I would just, you know, coach James that wanted to spend time with these kids and give back. So it's a similar, but now you do it directly through, you know, the soccer medium, soccer platform. So I think some more coaching and we'll see. But I literally talked to Mike Facito today. So it's great to connect with all these soccer, like the brotherhood of soccer. I'll have a smile on my face the rest of the day to see Brad and Kenny. And, you know, I saw Zach one last night, but it's like it filled your cup. I talked to Chris Duvall yesterday, who's talking about, you know, his next steps in the game. So for me, I think coaching, but then, like I said, being able to have these opportunities to share our experiences about players that may have questions about, you know, what's on the other side of the game, I think is so, so powerful and helpful.
Oh, for sure. Man, just to pick up on that, I mean, you know, James, you've been an awesome support and resource for myself, you know, as we've talked about coaching and just being in that space. You know, I appreciate it so much. I mean, definitely. As I said, Brad, I FaceTime Brad multiple times a week. I mean, you know, Steve, you know, if you want, I'll FaceTime you too. Maybe we can, you know, make it a group chat. No, but that to me, like staying connected is, I mean, I'm so happy to have met you know, so many awesome people along the way. And, you know, again, it may sound cliche, you know, you can only play for so long, but the relationships are what lasts. And I'm always just like leaning into those, you know, friends of mine. And, you know, I just love hearing what people are up to, or, you know, maybe how they got into it, like how they're pursuing it. And it is a brotherhood for sure. And I'm super grateful for that. And, you know, so for me, like with what's next, I mean, my, you know, I'm just going to chip away at those 10,000 hours. Like I said, you know, just do a bunch of, you know, as much coaching and the private coaching as I can. I'm hopeful when I get back from Charleston, I can get back, you know, around FC Dallas. And gosh, the other week I had something like, I think it was like 25,000 steps in a day or something. Just like, you know, I must've been with FC Dallas in the morning, maybe had like three sessions in the afternoon, just like, you know, it can feel like a bit of a grind, but you know, ultimately it's, you know, where my passion lies. So, you know, my plan is to just kind of kick on and just try to stay, you know, as close to the game, the league as I can, and just, you know, get those hours in coaching.
Do you guys think that there's enough being done by the clubs and Major League Soccer in the long
great
run?
Great question.
To actually like set us up. And I know that James, you've done the preseason with the young guys, but and you know, I talked about it earlier. It was like trying to reach young guys is great, but they're really focusing on, am I going to make the roster yet? Mm-hmm. Right. And what would be of most assistance to you looking back on it now that Major League Soccer could do or could have done set you up a little bit better for your next step?
Yeah.
Or even.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was my primary focus. One of my primary passions when I did go to the league office was trying to kind of help players bridge that gap, right? Good weather with the MLS Players Union, the league, and individual clubs. You know, there's different programs with Players Union, right? AthLife helps players build profiles. But like you said, I think alluding back to your original statement, right? There's resources that are there, but if you're a player and you're in tunnel vision, right? Like you alluded to earlier, like a lot of players are, it's tough to see it while you're playing. So if you're talking about, okay, you're retired, then what are the next steps and how are you supported for your 6 to 12 month transition? I think without a doubt, the league and individual clubs, players union could add a lot more resources into that, right? I think the natural transition is coaching. So a lot, right? They were doing you could go into your B license, now you're A, you know, then transition to your A. But I certainly feel, you know, one, we as a player pool, guys that have already retired can do a lot to kind of help and just be a voice of reason for players that have questions. And then without a doubt, programming at the league level, club level, in conjunction with the MLS Players Union could certainly do a lot more and be more. I don't think we're as robust as other, well, I know we're not as robust as other leagues, right? Say NBA, NFL, MLB, with time we'll get there, but certainly I think a lot more resources can be put into that aspect of things.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to hear. It's an interesting question, Brad. I think you asked, you know, about the clubs, right? If the clubs provide, you know, opportunities, and it's hard to speak like for all the clubs. I mean, it seems like Seattle do a great job of connecting with former players. Obviously, you know, you guys do great work for the club. And I was reading, you know, just some of the tributes to Jimmy, who passed away, God bless him. And, you know, one of the things I enjoyed reading was Brian was talking about, you know, former players come around for lunch or, you know, something like that. And just from my time in Seattle, there seemed to be a real connection to, you know, the club's history in the past. And, you know, I'd imagine a lot of players feel valued. There's, you know, once a sounder, always a sounder. Whether or not other teams do that, I don't know. I'm very grateful to FC Dallas that they've opened the door for me to be around. And there's just no doubt that, you know, a player that's, you know, been in and around the league, you know, spent years there, there's just so much value that they can bring to a team. I mean, y'all remember what it's like, right, as a rookie player. I know for me, it was a big transition to turn professional. I went from training like twice a week with my club team in high school to being at Man United. Like, I think my eyes were like, whoa, like it was just a huge life transition. And one of the good things they did at United was just like, you know, there were a lot of like senior players around. Yeah, I feel like I felt like I could always like kind of go to someone. I remember like asking Luis Saha, like what he ate, you know what I mean? Just to me, there's just so like, for a young player, there's so much value that an experienced player or former player that's been around that they can bring to a club. And so that, so, you know, for me, that's, like I said, like I'm determined to like just stay in the game and, you know, try to be a resource for players. And I think that, like, I mean, I think of myself as a younger player and I'm like, gosh, I use this example a lot of like Brian Ching, you know, who I really, you know, admired his career. And I was like, man, I just think to myself, gosh, if I was a young player and Brian Ching was like, let's say he just retired and he was around to come run shooting with me, holy cow, are you kidding me? I would love to ask him about, you know, what his journey was like, you know, where he liked to receive, just all these little details. And so, you know, it would make me sad to think that there's a lot of players out there with tons of experience and knowledge that maybe don't have opportunities to like share it. And so, you know, just for myself, I'm like, I gotta be on the field. I have to be just, you know, sharing my knowledge of the game with people.
Love that. Keith, did we get everything?
Yeah, we got it all. We got it all. I mean, I have a lot to think about after this, obviously, but you guys needed like a guidance counselor or something.
Yes. Yes.
Like James, you were talking about it, right? Like someone for the young guys to talk to. Like every team should have like a guidance counselor that you go see like once a month or whatever. Like that's what I had in college, and it's kind of a similar thing. I don't know.
Right. It depends who you get. If you get someone like Brad, we're going to retire and go to some remote part of the country. So it's like
everyone's going to retire if they listen to my story right away.
Exactly. I'm certainly no expert in this transition. I'm still, golly, I hope in the next 5 years I can tell you I've done it successfully. But you know, it's great to be able to talk about it, and you know, Brad and I talk about it a lot, right? And it's nice to be able to have, you know, just opportunities to just communicate with others that are going through it or have been through it.
Yeah. Kenny, Wake Forest is looking for an assistant.
Oh, really? Shoot, I'll give Bobby a call.
Give him a shout.
Hey, Brad. So you've got some cool memories playing against Tigres, and it looks like the Sounders will be facing that League MX team again. Can you give us a little bit of details on that?
League's Cup is in action August 10th, 7 p.m. at Lumen Field. Tickets are on sale right now. Fond memories of Tigres and some bad memories of Tigres. So we're going to go with redemption. It's going to be an absolute test of a couple Titans, so don't miss it.
Dude, that was, like, amazing. Just listening to, you know, your guys' experiences and what you guys have gone through, and it's such a unique situation that pro athletes are sort of put in, where sort of, like James was talking, you guys have such tunnel vision for so long. And like you were saying, when you were in college, it was just taking the easiest classes so that you could become a pro. But then what happens when your pro career ends and forever, I mean, unless you're Tom Brady, you're done by, like, you know, 35 or 40 if you're really lucky. And I think a lot of fans don't necessarily grasp that. We kind of think, oh, you guys are pro athletes, this is so easy. And like, once you retire, oh, you'll just go on TV or you'll just be like a head coach right away. And that's clearly not the truth, and it's not the reality of it. So sort of hearing your guys' experiences, I think, was really important. And I'm grateful I got to sort of sit in on it. And I think our fans are going to love hearing it. So.
Yeah, I think, you know, to touch on your point before we get out of here is, yes, there are the dream scenarios that you see on TV where, you know, a fantastic player jumps straight into coaching and has an awesome career. But those are, you know, I think there's like 6,000 professional athletes at any time between the major, you know, men's and women's sports. So you think about those one or two times you see it on ESPN and that's about it. And the rest have to kind of figure out what they want to do. For the vast majority, you know, we're not making the money where we can just, you know, sit back and relax. You know, we've got to have a second career is what we call it. And people were always, when I was on my road trip, people would ask, oh, you're retired from soccer? And I was like, yeah, I'm just retired from soccer. Like, I will be getting a job right after this, but very fortunate to have taken that break to kind of reset. You know, as we exit, you know, not everything's a fairy tale. And I think you're hearing from, you know, multiple guys that got hit with the injury bug and had to retire early. And I think that that is even more tough than just having that storybook ending that we often see on ESPN also, right? Going out on your own terms is very rare. So hearing about the grind, hearing about the, you know, what ultimately is a mental struggle for, you know, a lot of former players is, you know, it adds value to our group. And hopefully we can obviously educate, but thank you to the fans for listening. If you got any more questions, I think you can contact us individually on social media. I think everyone's an open book that was on this podcast. Make sure to like, subscribe, and share this with others that need to hear it. You know, it's important for the kids to listen to it as much as it is for the parents. So pass it on, use it as knowledge, and don't forget, Sounders play at Minnesota this weekend. Catch your boys out in Rave Green, and we'll be back to recap it all next week.